League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
As far as this news is concerned, I've always called it the double D test. If you fail the drug test or test positive for a diluted sample at the combine, it's either dumb or dependent. I think ultimately it'll affect Peppers, but I would have taken him in the second round regardless.
His football decision-making and his career are absolutely horrendous. To do this and put himself in this position, right, cost him millions of dollars. You're only going to get drafted once in the NFL. You don't make mistakes like this. My second concern is who's advising him? Because right now you've got to take a step back and look around the people that you're surrounded with. You've got to make better decisions because those people aren't helping you or they're not advising you to go in the right direction. Because to make a mistake like this at this point of time in your life, this is a life-altering decision because you're never going to get drafted but one time in the NFL. And you've put your entire life, entire career to this point to put yourself in this position.
If it is true that he had a diluted sample due to the fact that it's marijuana, then he made a bad error. He's going to get drafted. He was probably going to get drafted in a late first round. This might knock him down to the second round. But the big deal for me is this. You better have a plan to where you're going to play him. You just can't say, well, he's a corner. He's not a corner. He's just somewhat of a nickel kind of linebacker guy. So you better have a plan to draft a guy like this.
I think Joe Mixon could be Ricky Waters, a member of Notre Dame, great, with the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, you look at the height, you look at the upright style, but the quickness and the way he intentionally hit that hole. The Cleveland Browns have the most pressure in this draft. They don't get a quarterback. They're in the cellar. They're the fourth team in the division, and they're a long ways away from Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. So defining who that quarterback will be and getting the quarterback to play at a high level is the big challenge for the Cleveland Browns.
Big picture for the Browns, first of all, they need to do the right thing at the number one overall pick and take the best player in the draft in Myles Garrett. But moving forward, four picks in the top 52, you keep hacking away at the quarterback position. Whoever it is, they've got to get their quarterback, develop him. Mitchell Trubisky reminds me of Aaron Rodgers coming out of Cal. The two similarities that I see, one is the stroke. A quick stroke, the ball comes out quickly. The second thing is the ability to extend plays. I think he's just as good an athlete as Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Kizer could be somewhere in the neighborhood of Joe Flacco. The size, the strength, the mobility, when they get running and moving, they can extend and really create in terms of throws down the field. That's the other comparison is I think Kizer's arm strength is excellent. The wide receiver class this year is lacking elite talent at the top, but I think it's a very deep group. I like Corey Davis from Western Michigan a lot. I like Mike Williams. I think John Ross, with his explosiveness he brings, is a late first rounder. The real depth is in the second, third, fourth round.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All righty, welcome indeed to the extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader. Hope you're having an outstanding Tuesday. I bet your day is going better for you than Jabril Peppers' day is going for him. Are you serious? My, oh, my, oh, my. Draft day is 2 days away, and we're just finding out that the Michigan Wolverines All-American, surefire first-round draft pick. Where in the first round is a big question mark because he's seen as a tweener, kind of like that forward in basketball that's too small to guard really big forwards but too slow to guard the really quick ones. That's not to say he can't do anything. It's just a matter of does he fit better at a linebacker spot or a safety spot? Is he fast enough to play the safety? Is he strong enough to play the linebacker and support the run? Or is he just going to be a hybrid specialist kind of a guy? But clearly first-round talent from the University of Michigan, right? All-American at one point, considered a Heisman contender, and he's definitely a first-round talent. That was until, of course, we find out about the dilute sample. Now, why they call it a dilute sample instead of a diluted sample, which the rest of the known world would actually call it, I don't know. And I guess I'm not going to try to figure that out. But they call it a dilute sample, and a dilute sample happens when you take a drug test and there just isn't enough substance to your testable material. What substance, of course, am I talking about? What testable material? Testable material is your urine. The substance we're talking about is creatinine. Now, we're going to get into a little bit of science here. Only because we have to really try to understand this. And I'm going to be asking you a very easy question with a very difficult answer that you're going to have to provide about whether or not you buy Jabril Pepper's story. So here's the story. And first of all, let's say this, or let me say this about all of that. We know that a lot of college football players, and we know that a lot of NFL football players are pot smokers. Okay? Now, I'm not going to get into the whole political fight about whether or not weed should be illegal or not. It is. A, it's a federal crime, even if there are some individual states that have decriminalized it from a state standpoint, either for medicinal purposes or recreational purposes. It's still considered to be an illicit substance at the federal level. And most importantly, it is banned by the National Football League. So anybody who is partaking in pot for any kind of an extended period of time and who wants to get involved in the National Football League is going to have to make a choice. You're either going to have to stop smoking the pot when you know that you're going to be tested, or find a way to hide the fact that you are still smoking pot if you want to be a part of the National Football League. Or I guess your other choice is don't be a part of the National Football League. We have seen guys make that decision before. You may recall the curious case of one Ricky Williams, former Heisman Trophy winning running back, University of Texas, first round draft pick by the New Orleans Saints after Mike Ditka, then coaching the Saints, infamously traded his entire draft for the right to pick Ricky Williams. He then tipped his cap, said, "See, I had a great draft. Have a nice day." Didn't turn out that way. Ricky Williams had all the talent in the world, but Ricky Williams really, really loved the ganja. Ricky Williams inevitably retired, telling media that he really, really would rather go smoke weed more than play in the National Football League. Josh Gordon, all NFL caliber wide receiver who led the National Football League in receiving yards 4 years ago, in the 2012 season, Josh Gordon hasn't played, I think four games since then? I'm trying to remember exactly how many. I think he played in four games since then. Josh Gordon was supposed to come back before last year's season, actually came back, applied for reinstatement, got reinstated, but then said, "Yeah, I'm out," and went back into rehab or just went back to smoking pot, knowing he was going to fail more NFL-mandated drug tests. So you can choose to just say, "You know what, I really love weed more than I love football and money. I love hippie lettuce more than I like money lettuce. So that's what I'm going to do." You can do that. I'm not saying that's what Jabril Peppers is doing. What I am saying is that Jabril Peppers has a problem on his hands. Because either he is a really, really stone-cold drug addict who cannot put it down long enough to pass a test at a pre-planned testing site, which is the NFL Combine. Wasn't a surprise test. Nobody knocked on his door. "Yo, Jab, open it up." I don't know if anybody calls him Jab, by the way. "Yo, Brill." I don't know if anybody calls him Brill either way. "Yo, Pep." I don't know if anybody calls him Pep either. "Hey, Jabril Peppers. Hey, got a cup here. Fill this up. "Wait, what?" "Yeah, surprise test. 2 weeks before the combine." No. This was a planned drug test that everybody who was attending the NFL Combine knew that they were going to have to take. Now, if my knowledge of marijuana in the system is correct, and I'm not 100% sure it is, it's not my area of expertise, I'm going by memory pretty much and what I've read in the past, marijuana can stay in your system up to 30 days. So if you know that you have a drug test coming up at the NFL Combine, the place where you're going to try to convince NFL scouts, player personnel directors, and general managers that they should invest millions of dollars into you as a first-round draft pick. You know this is coming, and you're going to have to run. You're going to have to jump. You're going to have to lift. You're going to have to shuttle. You're going to have to do coverage drills. You're going to have to do bag drills. You're going to have to do Wunderlich tests. And you're going to have to pee in a cup. If you know that, and that you know then the date of the combine is whatever the hell date it was in February, and you can't count back 30 days and say, I can't take another toke after this date because I got to be clean at the combine? If you can't figure that out, you're too stupid to be in the National Football. I'm not saying Jabril Peppers can't. This is a general commentary right now brought on by the Jabril Peppers story. I don't know that Jabril Peppers was too stupid to be able to count back to 30 and figure out when he could have his last toke, if he is indeed using drugs of any kind. I don't know. But this is a general statement. If you can't count back and figure that out, then you're too stupid to play in the National Football League. If you can count 30 days back from the day that the drug test is going to be held, and maybe if you don't know if you're going to be tested on day one or day two or day three of the combine, maybe just for the sake of safety, you give yourself 35 days. If you do count back, and then you still test positive at the combine, that means you couldn't help but toke within the 35-day period. You just couldn't say no. That's a problem. That means you have a very serious drug problem if that happens. And so Jabril Peppers gets a positive test at the combine, not because they detected marijuana or any other illicit substances in his urine, but because the sample was too diluted, if you will. Essentially, when he urinated straight water. Now, how can that be? Why would that be? According to a lot of people who are experts in this field, including a lot of former players who have studied this sort of thing, 99 times out of 100, 99% of the time, a player who gives a dilute sample at a drug test intentionally diluted to cover up drugs. 99 times out of 100, which doesn't exactly say positive things about Jabril Peppers. Here's somebody else who doesn't have positive things to say about Michigan's Jabril Peppers. Former NFL Pro Bowl offensive lineman Damian Woody.
Listen, I always say that with these guys that... these guys smoke, okay? I'm not even going to sit here and pretend. Nobody should even pretend that this doesn't happen.
The National Police smoke marijuana?
Yeah, oh, yeah. A lot of guys do that.
Get the breaking news banner up.
But the failure is, and you alluded to it, you know when it's coming. You know, and all you have to do is use simple mathematics. Get off the weed. You've been playing since high school.
Now we can't assume.
I'm just making a general statement here. You've been working hard in high school, your collegiate career, to put yourself in a position, man, to make millions of dollars. And then right when the moment is about to happen to change your whole life, you do something that's stupid. What are you thinking?
That's Damon Woody from NFL Network, made those comments on NFL Network. Very similar to what I was saying. Well, let's expand upon that. It's clearly true what Damon Woody said at the beginning. Breaking news banner, these guys smoke. Okay? That's a problem. I personally do not condone that. I think it's stupid. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's idiotic. I think it's a gateway to a much more deeper problem. But that's not the issue here. Fact of the matter is, it is against the NFL rules, and if you do test positive at the combine, you automatically come into the National Football League if and when you are drafted, even lower than you would have been now, probably because of this. You come in, in the first stage of the NFL's drug policy. You've got one strike against you. And because of that one strike, you are going to be tested up to 12 times a month. 12 times a month for 3 years. Now you might say Jabril Peppers didn't test positive. In the NFL's eyes, he did. Because if you do essentially urinate straight water without any substance or any other chemicals that would indicate normal urine flow and normal bodily function, they say you're hiding something. Remember, 99 times out of 100. So they say you're hiding something. You cheated the test. It counts as a positive. And that is a terrible, terrible situation for Jabril Peppers. Probably a little bit of a disappointment for Jim Harbaugh and the entire Michigan program, who, of course, want to see one of their great players in their history go on to have a great NFL career and be a high draft pick, right? So Jabril Peppers' story is what? Well, you don't understand. I was flying from Indianapolis to San Diego, and so I had 8 to 10 bottles of water. 8 to 10 bottles of water. Well, why would you drink 8 to 10 bottles of water? Well, Pepper said, because first of all, I've got a history of cramping, and you got to overhydrate in order to avoid cramping. But second of all, I was feeling sick. So I did what I had to do. He was also the first athlete to run in the linebacker and defensive back drills. Free or strong, I'm very fast. I'm stronger than the typical DB and tougher than the typical DB since I played linebacker in the Big Ten at 200 pounds, Pepper said at the combine. So that's anywhere from nickel. I can play some corner still. We'll see. It's going to be a fun process talking about where he fits. Now, the positive test that Jabril Peppers took, whether it's to essentially mask some sort of drug or because he said he was sick and he had to rehydrate, or he had to hydrate himself, I should say, before doing all of that work. Well, that's, I guess, for everybody else to decide. But I gave you Damian Woody, and I gave you the kind of 99 times out of 100 statistic, according to those in the know, it is to mask another drug or a different, or to mask a drug. I want to give you the other side of the story now, too. I think it's only fair to do that. Joe Klatt is a former college football player, and he is a NFL college football analyst now over at Fox. And Joe Klatt laid out some science today that I felt like would be interested to this conversation. And so here's that science. A diluted test, when you take a drug test, a urine test, is triggered when you have less than 20 milligrams of creatinine per deciliter of sample. All right? 20 milligrams of creatinine per deciliter of urine, essentially. If you have that really, really super low creatinine level, it makes the test diluted. It is essentially a pointless test because there's nothing to test. It's just water coming out of your body. And so the question then becomes, well, how much water would you have to drink to make that happen? And according to Klatt, who expected it to be some 3 gallons of water in a short period of time, which would be quite an obvious thing, but it wasn't that. He expected it to be that, but it wasn't that. Joe Klatt said, all it would take to trigger something like a diluted drug test is about 48 ounces of water in a 4 to 5 to 6 hour period. Now, what's 48 ounces of water? That's 6 8-ounce bottles of water. You might have a bottle of water in front of you right now. Isn't it about 8 ounces? Isn't that what it says on the label? Probably got one in front of you. That means that all Jabril Peppers would have had to do is drink one bottle of water for 5 to 6 hours to hydrate himself because he knows that he cramps. Tons of athletes, as Joel was saying again, and he played college football, tons of athletes do this. They overhydrate prior to a game or a heavy workout or immediately after a game or a heavy workout because, especially if you are one with a history of cramps, your body absolutely needs that because you are going to lose so much fluid in the sweating, especially the salt level, the sodium level, etc. And that's why water or Gatorade, electrolytes, etc. just is slammed by athletes in certain circumstances like that. Well, Jabril Peppers has had a history of cramps going all the way back to high school. So the question becomes, okay, so maybe it's not drinking an inordinate amount of water that would trigger such a test. Just, you know, 5-6 bottles of water once an hour for 5-6 hours. Sounds like something a lot of people do. Then how come other players didn't have this diluted sample at the draft? Or, I mean, at the combine, right? Well, according to Klatt, because nobody else probably had to hydrate for this particular workout, because nobody else in the draft was working out for two positions at the combine, doing all of the full defensive back drills as well as the full linebacker battery of tests. So you got a guy who's going to be working quite literally twice as hard as anybody else in the at the combine, twice as hard because he's trying out essentially for two positions, with a history of cramping. It is absolutely reasonable to believe that he may have chugged a bottle of water an hour for 5 or 6 hours that would give him that 48 ounces of water that could indeed lower your creatinine level to below the trigger mark, if you will, for a diluted test. Is Peppers drinking an average of 1 8-ounce bottle of water for 5 to 6 hours before the test a reason to put him in the drug program right out of the gate to start his NFL career in stage one and to trigger 12 tests a month for 3 years? Is that right? Should the NFL do that? Can the NFL do that? Could Jabril Peppers be the one out of 100 that we talked about? Remember, we said 99 times out of 100, the experts say, a diluted drug test is to cover up drugs. 1 out of 100 is a legitimate reason. Is Jabril Peppers 1 out of 100? Or is Jabril Peppers really seriously, hopelessly addicted to drugs to the point where he couldn't stop smoking it, going up to the 30-day window before it might be out of his system, before being tested at the NFL's scouting combine? Which one do you believe? We're going to make that our Twitter poll question today. I'm going to put it up here in just a couple of seconds after we get into the bottom of the hour Sports Center. But we're going to talk about this also. We're going to talk to a Michigan beat writer who knows a little bit about Jabril Peppers and a little bit about the Wolverines and maybe can shine a little bit of a spotlight on this for us. Matt Wenzel covers Michigan for MLive.com. We're going to talk to him after we take that time out. But I want to talk to you at 866-240-1065. What do you believe? Do you believe that Jabril Peppers is smoking weed or using other drugs and drinking a ton of water just to dilute the test so he wouldn't test positive straight out? Or do you believe that he could be the 1 in 100 because of his playing two positions, because of his history of cramping, who just needed to slam all of that water in order to make sure he didn't cramp while he is testing at the combine for all of these scouts and player personnel directors, et cetera? Be very curious to see what you think of this. In fact, you know what? Before we get to the Sports Center, before we get to our guests, let me get Jimmy in Toledo, because otherwise Jimmy's going to have to wait about a half an hour after our interview to talk. Jimmy, go ahead. We'll put you up right now before we take our time out here. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I totally believe it because it happened to a friend of mine.
Believe what? Which one? Which side?
He was a bodybuilder, and he had gotten sick, and he had a meet. He had a show.
Yeah.
And he popped too. And it was the same thing. And usually these guys aren't trying to hydrate up, you know, because they have a cutting method though. They want to be as ripped as possible.
Sure.
But the long story is they said he was using stuff and then they used that whole, you know, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know the exact, but I knew for a fact because I just hung out with him. He never smoked anything. He never used anything. He was completely natural. But I think absolutely Jabril Peppers could have been the 1 out of 100. I mean, there is a reason there is that 1 out of 100. And frankly, if this was the case, I'd hire Joe Klatt to be my defense attorney.
Honestly, I would too.
Because here's the thing.
I listened to what he said, and then I read up on it a little bit, and he's quoting scientific resources. This is how this thing is done, and it does make sense. This is why he might have had to drink that bottle an hour, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I'd want him on my side too. But the question is, I mean, it's kind of stupid to say what are the odds. The odds are 1 in 100. But it is pretty weird, especially given the fact that this isn't a bodybuilder. This is the NFL, and this is college football. And guess what? Weed flows through both of the above.
Well, I understand that. But, you know, the thing is if he was that hopelessly addicted to marijuana where he couldn't stay off of it for 30 days, this would have shown up and long before this. And as far as I know, doesn't Michigan drug test their athletes?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know if he's ever taken one before.
And if you,
I'll ask our guest Matt Wenzel about that. If they do drug testing,
he said he was sick, man, and he had, like you said, that was the first thing when I heard this story. I was like, well, no, because I actually saw that because I want to watch Raekwon McMillan work out. So I actually, like somebody with no life, actually taped or recorded that day, and he worked out with Raekwon McMillan. And they were showing him he was doing both drills, and he hadn't even done the one drills before. He was just kind of doing it on the fly. I wouldn't be shocked at all. And if you figure, he probably had to be extra hydrated all year because, like you said, of his cramp issues,
right,
and the fact that he played both sides of the ball. So this is probably just something that he always did. And then if you were a little sick the day before, you're damn right you're going to. Think about this. If he doesn't do that and he goes out there and he cramps up and he has a crappy workout and he's dry, he was almost damned if he did, damned if
that's right. That's exactly right. Then he would have had to, you know, obviously bring everybody to his pro day and watch him do all of those things there. And he'd probably have to hydrate up for that. I mean, you know,
and the other thing
that kind of rubs me wrong about this. Yeah, hey Jimmy, I gotta run, buddy. Thanks for the call. Let me get a quick time out here because I want to come back and talk to Matt Wenzel. He's covers the Wolverines for MLive.com. He's a Michigan bureau. Find out if they do the drug testing there. We'll come back, take more of your phone calls right after this on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
To the Bob France Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
We roll onward now. It's 3:41. Let's talk a little bit more about Jabril Peppers and the curious case of the diluted sample. What does it really mean? Well, one thing we know it means is it's considered a positive test by the NFL. Is it right to be considered so? I guess that's a matter of opinion, but it is their rules. If you test a diluted sample, comes back, they call that a positive test, as if you were trying to mask something. He now goes into the beginning stages of the NFL's drug policy, meaning he will have to be tested 12 times a month for the next 3 years. Joining us now to talk about it is Matt Wenzel, who covers University of Michigan for MLive.com. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm good. When's the last time you took a drug test?
Let's see, probably a little less than 3 years ago.
Really? For employment?
Yes.
Okay. Is it for your career as a journalist? I didn't know that you guys had to do that sort of thing. Or was there something else?
Oh, no, it's for a job. Yeah, so
really?
Yeah.
I mean, they do that with bus drivers, truck drivers, pilots. There's enough, for obvious reasons in those cases.
You can be dangerous with words, too, so I guess that's the reason.
That's, you know what? In 2017, that is true. That is strangely and sadly true that that people actually feel that way. All right. First question I have for you, somebody called me a few minutes ago and asked me. Somebody said, you know what, I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't the first time. If you've got the history of cramping that Jabril Peppers has, and apparently it's documented going all the way back to his high school years and through his career at the University of Michigan, he's probably tested for a diluted sample before, slamming water before or after practices, whatever the case might be, to avoid cramping. And I said, you know, I don't even know if they do drug testing at the University of Michigan for their athletes. So first question for you is, are you aware, as a beat writer, do they actually test the players?
You know, I'm not aware of the specifics of the college drug program. I've just been doing Michigan for 1 year. But I don't know what the specifics are of that, and I don't think even if they did that's made public. I'm trying to think of recent events. Remember Mitch McGarry, he failed a drug test while injured during
right.
Michigan's basketball run, and that cost him. You know, I just can't, off the top of my head, think of anything in recent history other than that.
Okay.
I think there's some NCAA mandated. Forgive me, I'm just blanking on the specifics of it. You know, I'm pretty sure there's some sort of NCAA mandated drug testing, but I don't think it's anything that's you know, I just couldn't speak to this.
Yeah, it's okay. Like I said, my first thought was that they were not, that you were not drug tested unless you gave a reason to be. You know, if you had an arrest, perhaps, you know, a marijuana offense or something like that in college, and maybe they could say as part of your probationary period, you know, you're going to have to be drug tested, et cetera, in order to keep your scholarship. Things like that I could see happening. I didn't think, but I could be wrong, obviously, that they did that just as a matter of course for all football players or basketball players or scholarship athletes or whatever the case might be. So we'll skip over that part of this, and let me ask you, based on, you know, your time covering the Wolverines, limited as it may be, knowing, you know, all the people you do, including perhaps Jabril Peppers and people around him, were you very surprised when you found out that he had a diluted test?
Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of hard to put into words, you know, saying you're surprised, because I mean, we still don't know. You know, I think, like you mentioned leading into this, a diluted test doesn't mean that somebody was on drugs. It just means they had more water concentration or whatever however they define it in the sample. I mean, it could be somebody who is perfectly innocent, never failed a drug test, you know, doesn't do drugs at all, and just drinking that much water could result in it. So I can't say I'm surprised by it, because nobody knows for a fact what you know.
Well, the reason for your surprise can be whatever you want it to be. I mean, you may be surprised. You may say, no, not surprised at all, because I know how much water he had to drink during the entire season, you know, because of his cramping issues. You might say, no, this is a pretty normal thing for him. So it's just, you know, your own response to it when you heard about it.
Well, I mean, I try not to be surprised by anything these days, to be honest with you. I mean, was it something where I almost fell out of my chair? No, because, I mean, it's, you know, these things happen.
I didn't have much of a reaction to it at all. I just thought it was something that happened. I mean, you have Reuben Foster from Alabama, it happened to as well. Same exact thing, you know, diluted sample at the combine, his, you know, explanation was drinking too many fluids, and that's, you know, the route they go, and you know, you can't prove that they're, you know, that's not a correct, reason for it. So, yeah, I mean, really just didn't have much of a reaction at all. You know, just wrote the story about it.
All right. Well, I appreciate your joining us on it. I'm looking for, you know, somebody who has a little bit of a thought on it. But if you know, I can understand if you just reported what you saw and that's the end of it. I appreciate that. So we won't keep you. But thanks very much for spending the time with us today, Matt.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Have a good day. There you go. There's Matt Wenzel from MLive.com. Yeah, I mean, you know, bottom line here is I'm looking for reactions. That's what we're looking for here. We're looking for reactions. That was a little bit awkward because he doesn't have a reaction, you know, and he doesn't know if they test or anything else. So we're going to have to do a little bit better on that. I'll settle for yours then. He doesn't have one. I have one, and I don't live in Ann Arbor, and I don't cover him. So, but I've got, you know, I've got an opinion on it, and my opinion on it is this. When you have, according to the experts, 99% of the time somebody tests with a diluted sample, it is to avoid a positive drug test. It is a drug test that you know you're going to fail, and so in order to make sure that you don't fail it, you just make sure nothing can be found, because you clear everything out of your system for that short period of time while you guzzle water. 99 times out of 100, that's what they say it is. One time out of 100, it isn't. There's a legit story. Jabril Peppers might be that one time. As I talked to Jimmy, the previous caller, he's got a shot at this, perhaps, given the fact that he's under some abnormal circumstances. Number one, cramping since high school. When you do that, you know what your body needs to make sure that your muscles don't suddenly seize up. Have you ever had, you know, a workout-induced cramp? You know, if your leg or your calf or your, you know, your quad or whatever it is just seizes up in a cramp, you cannot run. You cannot perform. It is a terrible thing. It has knocked guys out of games. There have been basketball players who have cramped in a heated gym where it's just a little bit too warm and their muscles just cannot function properly, and they just seize up and cramp. And, you know, potassium is one of the answers. Obviously, they'll tell you to eat a banana or something like that. That certainly helps alleviate cramps, but also hydrating and overhydrating. That's one of the things they say. So this is a guy in Jabril Peppers who has cramped repeatedly since high school. And as Joel Klatt pointed out, who's a college football analyst over at Fox, as he pointed out, this is a guy who is the only guy in the combine who was going to try out for two different positions. two different positions, defensive back and linebacker, two different drills, sets of drills, double the work of everybody else. So I cramp a lot. I'm going to be sweating my butt off out there. I'm going to be losing all my fluids. I'm going to be doing two different things. I'm going to make sure that I am hydrated. And then suddenly, okay, it's time to fill the cup. It's pretty much straight water. Maybe he's the one time out of 100. Maybe he is. I really want to know how you feel about it and whether you think that Jabril Peppers is clean. Can I just tell you, this is a personal belief, or not belief, let me rephrase, a personal hope. I want him to be the one out of 100. I just do. I want to think good things about this kid. I loved watching him at Michigan. I think he's going to be a great pro. Even if they can't quite figure out what position he's going to play, he could be Troy Polamalu, for crying out loud. He could just be all over the field, blitzing from one angle one time, dropping back into coverage and making picks another time. I mean, he could just be a real hybrid type of defensive player that is just going to make plays all over the field for you. I like him. I do. I've been trying to just present this as it's either or. Either he's a pothead who can't stop himself, or he is the one out of 100 exception. I'm just going to kind of, pull the curtain back and say I'm really hoping it's the latter, because I like him, and I want him to be successful. And I want also the NFL to stop the nonsense. I just don't believe that this is the right way to do it. He did not test positive for drugs. For them to just assume, because 99 times out of 100, somebody with a dilute sample is positive for drugs, or would be, and is trying to cover it, is to ignore the 1 out of 100 guy. And that 1 out of 100 guy is now presumed guilty simply for drinking too much water. What if he isn't guilty? That's what I'm talking about. Creative Arts Agency, CAA, that's the agency that represents Jabril Peppers. They released a statement to Adam Schefter of ESPN, who was the guy who broke this story yesterday about Peppers' positive test by way of dilute sample. Quote, this is from, again, Peppers' agents. Peppers went to the combine. He was sick after flying there from San Diego. He has a history of cramping. Peppers was being pumped with fluids, drinking 8 to 10 bottles of water before he went to bed. Because he was the first guy to work out 2 days for the LBs and DBs, he had to go through that first day, come back on the second day, and that was the fear. So Peppers was pounding water, and he was under the weather. He has never failed a drug test in his life, nor tested positive before for any substance. That's the statement from Jabril Peppers' agents. Now, by the way, just for the sake of completion in the story, he's not the only guy to have a positive diluted test. Former Alabama linebacker Reuben Foster, another guy who's expected to be a first-rounder, tested positive at the combine for a diluted sample. He will be treated, like Peppers, as if it were a positive test. That means he is placed in the NFL's drug program and subject to additional announced testing up to 12 times per month for up to 3 years. I don't know his story. If Peppers gets the benefit of the doubt, does Foster? Because the odds are pretty long. Are they not? Think about it this way. If 1 out of 100 is Peppers, is Foster 1 out of the next 100? Or is he 1 of the 99? Or maybe it's vice versa. I don't really know, but I'm rooting for Jabril Peppers. I really don't want this to be true. But here's the real kick in the pants. Doesn't really matter, does it? It doesn't really matter. Because the NFL doesn't allow you to appeal. To my understanding, once you get a positive drug test, or in this case, a false positive, or they don't call it a false positive, but a positive by way of a diluted sample, that's it. You don't get to come back a few days later and fill the cup again, and they say, oh, okay. And that's what they ought to do, by the way. To that point, if they see that there's a diluted sample, right there on the spot, they know, look at that, it's pure, clear liquid. It's water. He's urinating water. Because they have to have, I don't know if you know this either, they have to have, and Joe Klatt clarified this, they have to have a member of the sampling lab, whatever you want to call it, there has to be a combine official there, witnessing the fluid coming out of your body. Okay? So somebody's standing there watching you urinate. If that watcher or whatever his title is, you know, that specimen security person, whatever you want to call him, notices that essentially you are just looking at pure water. Why couldn't they just say, did you drink a lot of water? Yeah. Okay, we're going to need you to come back here in about another 3 hours. Okay, don't drink any more water between now and then if you can avoid it, or very little. But we need a full clear sample. We need something that shows that you have a creatinine level. The creatinine level here is going to be less than 20 milligrams per deciliter of your sample. That means we can't test anything. So since this is pretty much just pure water, let's chill out for a couple hours. Excuse me. Maybe 3 hours, maybe 4 hours. Come on back. 5-6 hours, whatever. Come on back. Don't drink very much water between now and then. Then we'll have another test. Why not just do that? Allow him to prove his innocence. Allow him, excuse me again, to be treated the way the law treats a defendant in a trial. And that is sent until proven guilty, rather than the NFL way, which is assumed guilty and no way to prove your innocence. At the end of the day, that's what Peppers and Foster are both going through. The NFL is saying, you have a diluted sample, so we believe that you're guilty. We assume your guilt. But it's not assumption of guilt until innocence is proven. You don't even get a chance to prove your innocence. It's just, that's it. That's it. So I want to know how you feel about this. 866-240-1065 is the number. 866-240-1065. Kush, Frank Gargano, what are you thinking here about Jabril Peppers? Do you think he's the one in 100? And if he is, then how do you account for Reuben Foster, who's going through right. The exact same thing from the exact same time frame?
Honestly, you know, thinking about this and hearing all those things we're talking about with the numbers on that, the one out of 100 and all that, I at this point, my thinking is, I guess it's possible that he could be the one out of 100, but since the odds are not necessarily in that favor, I have to think the worst until such new evidence comes out.
So thinking, and you know, again, I guess you kind of have to think the worst too, but don't you think they have a responsibility, they being the National Football League, to provide him an opportunity to prove that it isn't the worst?
I agree with that.
He didn't test positive for weed.
In this case,
he didn't test positive for codeine. He didn't test positive for anything.
Right.
In fact, he didn't test at all. It's like, I didn't take the test.
It's
so
like
bring him back a few hours later and let him take the test.
Right. Now that I kind of agree with, especially in the case where a test comes back as diluted sample, meaning it's not a true positive or a true negative, right? Even though, as you pointed out, the NFL current rules and policies on this is diluted is treated the same as a positive. But since, as we've been pointing out today, there can be that one time out of 100 in a diluted sample, then yeah, there should be some kind of retest that's right on top of the other one. That I can kind of agree with. Now, we're obviously past that point because, as we've been pointing out on this story, this was the test that he took right before the combine. And that's, what is it, April 20th? So that's over a month ago now. So he can't obviously, you know, do it that way. But that is something that I think the NFL should consider. And all of them that have this kind of policy, because a diluted sample, again, is not true positive or true negative, and there is a slight chance that
in the NFL's eyes, it is true positive.
Right, exactly.
That's it.
Right.
And that's the problem. Frank Gargano, before the top of the hour.
Yeah, I agree with Joe Thomas tweeted out from the Browns that, you know, the tester should be able to see right away that it's diluted and go up to Peppers and say, hey, we don't have enough here to test you. You don't mind waiting around a couple hours and test again? And it could all be cleared up. We could not even be talking about this right now. But to be straight up failed drug test from that, I don't agree with it. And if I'm an NFL executive right now, if I have a spot for Peppers in my defensive scheme and my heart's really set on him, I don't think it changes my opinion.
I heard a different analyst this morning on Mike and Mike, and I can't remember which one it was. Or maybe it was Tony Dungy. Or not Tony Dungy. What am I saying? Excuse me. Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards is always on ESPN. Tony Dungy makes guest appearances, but not frequent. It was Herm, I believe, who said, maybe it wasn't even Herm. I can't remember. Anyway, who said that it's not like somebody, this will take somebody, like you just said, Frank, we're high on him. We think he's a first-round talent, et cetera. But because of this red flag, we're not going to take him in the first round. We're going to drop him down our board. But what it does do is if you're a team that has this guy rated neck and neck with another guy, and I really think this guy is just as good, and boy, I'm looking for a deciding factor between them, they're always going to go 100% of the time, always going to go with the guy that has no red flag there. So if they're just really neck and neck and we're looking for a separator, this will be the separator, and this will drop somebody down because of that. Now, if you get to some place where somebody has you as the highest rated player on the board and there's no neck and neck or close second, you know, for that spot, then they'll take him. They won't let this stop them from taking him, but it will be indeed a separator for, you know, close talented guys on their boards. So that's just another way to look at this. Okay, we're going to visit this more, and I want more of your phone calls and thoughts on it, too, coming up after the top of the hour at 866-240-1065. But, hey, I also want to remind you about the tremendous opportunity before you now from the only all-inclusive private country club in Northwest Ohio. Days like this are just screaming, get me a tee time. Well, you know what? If you get to the all-new inclusive, all-inclusive private country club Brandywine and Maumee, you'll get your tee time. You want to know why? Because you never have to wait behind leagues or anything else. The only league at Brandywine is your league. It is just an amazing place to play golf. The new Brandywine Country Club features 18 holes of Arthur Hills Design Championship Golf. The layout is simply spectacular. It's a perfect challenge. It's open enough for average golfers, but it's a great challenge for scratch golfers or single-digit handicaps, too. My goodness. And when we say all-inclusive, here's what you get when you're a member at Brandywine. You get unlimited golf, cart, pool, fitness, and all the social events are all covered in one low price. That's right, including the amazing pool parties. They're thinking outside the box with the design of the new all-inclusive Brandywine, and you've got to check it out for yourself. And don't forget to check out as well the Champions Bar and Grill. It reopened last summer, and it's open to the public. That means you don't even have to be a member to go there and enjoy the tremendous menu at Champions, including the finest marbled, hand-selected, certified Angus beef, expertly aged at a minimum of 21 days. My goodness, I can't even wait. I'm so hungry right now. You've got to get to Brandywine. And here's the deal. If you call and join Brandywine by May 31st, they will waive the initiation fee as well. Call this number. It's 419-865-2393. 419-865-2393. They'll give you all the details. They'll help you get set up. They'll waive that initiation fee as long as you do it by May 31st at the all-new, all-inclusive Brandywine Country Club in Maumee. Right back with hour number two of the Extravaganza and your calls coming up right here on the ticket.
As far as this news is concerned, I've always called it the double D test. If you fail the drug test or test positive for a diluted sample at the combine, it's either dumb or dependent. I think ultimately it'll affect Peppers, but I would have taken him in the second round regardless.
His football decision-making and his career are absolutely horrendous. To do this and put himself in this position, right, cost him millions of dollars. You're only going to get drafted once in the NFL. You don't make mistakes like this. My second concern is who's advising him? Because right now you've got to take a step back and look around the people that you're surrounded with. You've got to make better decisions because those people aren't helping you or they're not advising you to go in the right direction, because to make a mistake like this at this point of time in your life, this is a life-altering decision because you're never going to get drafted but one time in the NFL, and you've put your entire life, entire career to this point to put yourself in this position.
If it is true that he had a diluted sample due to the fact that it's marijuana, then he made a bad error. He's going to get drafted. He was probably going to get drafted in the late first round. This might knock him down to the second round. But the big deal for me is this. You better have a plan to where you're going to play him. You just can't say, well, he's a corner. He's not a corner. He's just somewhat of a nickel kind of linebacker guy. So you better have a plan to draft a guy like this.
I think Joe Mixon could be Ricky Waters, a member of Notre Dame, great, with the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, you look at the height, you look at the upright style, but the quickness and the way he intentionally hit that hole. Cleveland Browns have the most pressure in this draft. They don't get a quarterback. They're in the cellar. They're the fourth team in the division, and they're a long ways away from Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. So defining who that quarterback will be and getting the quarterback to play at a high level is the big challenge for the Cleveland Browns.
Big picture for the Browns, first of all, they need to do the right thing at the number one overall pick and take the best player in the draft in Myles Garrett. But moving forward, four picks in the top 52, you keep hacking away at the quarterback position. Whoever it is, they've got to get their quarterback, develop them. Mitchell Trubisky reminds me of Aaron Rodgers coming out of Cal. The two similarities that I see, one is the stroke. a quick stroke. The ball comes out quickly. The second thing is the ability to extend plays. I think he's just as good an athlete as Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Kizer could be somewhere in the neighborhood of Joe Flacco. The size, the strength, the mobility, when they get running and moving, they can extend and really create in terms of throws down the field. That's the other comparison is I think Kizer's arm strength is excellent. The wide receiver class this year is lacking elite talent at the top, but I think it's a very deep group. I like Corey Davis from Western Michigan a lot. I like Mike Williams. I think John Ross, with his explosiveness he brings, is a late first rounder. The real depth is in the second, third, fourth round.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two underway now, 12 minutes past 4 o'clock. Thanks for being with us. We've got, what does that make, 43? Yeah, 43 more minutes of outstanding awesome for you. Then we're going to bring you to Drive Time with Mr. Mike Miller. So Jabril Peppers tests positive because he tested nothing. That's what the NFL, the way they do it, basically. If your test shows nothing at all, because there's no substance there, it's just straight water, essentially, then they call it a positive drug test. Why? They say because 99 times out of 100, somebody is trying to cover up a positive drug test by drinking all of that water. So that's the way the NFL handles it, and Jabril Peppers is now in a state of flux. Will this hurt his draft status? It depends on who you ask. Mel Kiper Jr., the erstwhile NFL draft expert from ESPN, has said no, shouldn't hurt him at all. He's still going to be a first-round pick, and he's got him that way in all of his mock drafts. Kiper said, quote, it's not like he's projected, excuse me, it's not like he's projected to be a top 10 pick. I'd be surprised if he got out of the first round. So he's going to be somewhere in the first round and would have been otherwise as well. Pepper's situation, as I mentioned, is very similar to former Bama linebacker Reuben Foster. The idea that both of them are innocent and neither one of them is trying to cover up a positive drug test that they would have taken, that's hard to buy. That's hard to swallow. The odds of that are very, very long. Either both of them are trying to cover up a drug, or perhaps one of them is the one out of 100 that they say is actually drinking a ton of water, not for the reasons of covering up a drug test, but because of actual natural athletic reasons, such as the cramping issues that we talked about in the first hour, and or the fact that he was going to do double the work of everybody else at the combine since he was doing the DB and the linebacker workout drills. Want to know what you think. Do you believe Jabril Pepper? I just posted it, by the way, on Twitter during the top of the hour. It's on our Twitter page right now, Twitter feed right now. Follow us there at Sports Radio 106.5. And here's the question. Do you believe Jabril Peppers? Do you believe Michigan's at Jabril Peppers? We used his actual Twitter handle there to tag him. Story, that he chugged a bunch of water because he was sick. Or was he covering up a drug? Right now, just three votes have just come in the last 30 seconds. Two of them say, no, I'm not buying it. One says, yes, Jabril is clean. Cast your vote there and then share it. Retweet it for us, would you, so we can get a wide, broad sample of people's opinions between now and the end of the show. And also, don't forget, feel free to comment by way of retweeting it. Don't just vote. Give us your words. Give us your reasons why, and we will read the best answers on the air. Daniel is in Perrysburg, joining us now on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket. Hey, Daniel, how are you? Hello, Daniel. Bob. Can you hear me?
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
Hey, appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Sure thing. What's on your mind? What do you think? Is Jabril, is he telling the truth, or do we have ourselves a drug problem here?
Well, I want to premise with the fact that I'm a diehard Buckeye fan, okay? So I have no love for most Michigan players when it, you know, just overall, you know, just sort of bred that way.
Of course, yeah. That's reasonable, yeah.
But I think I got to go back to the idea that, in general, you're innocent until proven guilty. And the issue for me, just overall, is if the test isn't sufficient to prove something is wrong, why are you allowed to penalize someone as if they did something wrong? You can assume, that's fine, but you know, people shouldn't, you can't penalize these kids for assumptions, I think especially if they have no prior history of. I think that's an issue with the entire testing model that they have out there right now.
I would agree wholeheartedly with your premise. You cannot punish somebody for something that cannot be proven about them. It's why our court of laws work the way that they do. You can't punish somebody for something until it's proven beyond a reasonable doubt. You can't just do it on suspicion because 99 times out of 100, this is true. So therefore, we're going to treat you as you are one of the 99 instead of giving you the benefit of the doubt that you may be the one. So I agree with you in theory. However, let me posit this and see what you think. The NFL is not a court of law. They don't have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt or a reasonable doubt. They have their rules, and their rules are we test for drugs. And because we know there are many ways to mask a positive drug test, whether it be a certain chemical that you can drink, you know those things are on the market. If we test you and one of those masking agents that is there to dilute the sample is detected, then we are going to count that as a positive drug test. Even if the only thing you take is a ton of water to dilute the sample, we are going to count that as a positive drug test. And if they give that information out well in advance of any drug test that they are going to administer, which I believe they do, then the player knows it. Then the management team knows it. The agent that is watching over him and is in charge of getting him, his contract knows it. His trainer knows it. These guys are working with their bodies for a living. They're trying to get a job working with their bodies. And if they know full well that a diluted sample is treated as a positive test, and they tell you it's still okay to drink 8 bottles of water in a 5 or a 6 hour period that is going to dilute your sample or could potentially dilute your sample, you can't blame the NFL for that if they expressed and made very clear the rules as they administer them, right? You can't blame the NFL for just doing what they said they were going to do if your management team and the player, just did not consider that possibility when you were chugging all that water.
To some degree, I agree with what you're saying. I think the issue is there is no finite amount of what is too much water. For one guy, it may be 7 bottles. For one guy, maybe 9 bottles.
Indeed.
For one guy, maybe 5 bottles. So the issue then is, how do you penalize people for not knowing, when they go into it not knowing the parameters of what is and is not going to throw them into that gray area? And since you did mention it, Bob, I just wanted to bring it up. I have a little bit of an issue with the 99 times out of 100 statistic, and let me explain to you why.
Sure.
I work in cardiology, and we do a lot of diagnostic testing. So we do cardiology testing, nuclear stress testing, before we send patients in for CATs, right, to see if they have blockages in their arteries. So what I have then is I can see how efficient that test is by when we do get a positive test and they go in, okay, so their arteries were blocked. So we know that, let's say, 80% of the time that test is right. My issue with the 99 times out of 100 is that how do you know it's 99 times out of 100 if you have no way of confirming that number? Just analytically and scientifically, how does anybody that's giving that number know that it is 99 times out of 100 that those people are indeed using drugs versus it's a diluted sample?
I wondered the same thing, maybe not from the same analytical numbers that you are in medically speaking, but I wondered the same thing. Is that just anecdotal? Is that just somebody's, opinion of, hey, it's almost always that way, 99, or did they actually track this and say, you know what, we found out because the individual later on would admit to using weed, the individual later on was using weed in other circumstances, and so it was clear that they were trying to hide this thing, or did other elements of proof or evidence come up that makes them able to say 99 times out of 100 these guys are using drugs and this is just a way of hiding it? I don't know.
Right, because
I don't know what the answer is, but I do know.
Well, outside of having another test immediately, because if you're using their history of or what happens down the road, it's still not a static result of what is actually happening at the time.
Probably another thing, by the way, the next test, not saying immediately.
Right.
But I mean, like, if once they go into the program, like we talked about, and they got to take tests, random tests for the next 3 years,
sure,
12 times a month. If they come back, with a few positive ones, maybe that they're counting that as toward the 99% of the time. See, we knew it. This guy just can't stop using weed, even though he's being tested.
Exactly.
But it's a very, very good question, and it's a very fair point. I concur. There is no reason, as Frank mentioned, Joe Thomas's tweet, which not personifies it, expresses the same belief I have, that once the tester or observer or whatever you call the guy sees that this is a crystal clear stream, and I don't mean to be graphic and on the radio, but the guy's specimen is going to be clearly just, you know, water and there's nothing to test there. He could just say, hey, look, you know, this one isn't going to work. We need you to hang around a few hours and take another one. That's all. Just, you know, don't drink a whole bunch more water between now and then, and I'm sure it'll be fine. And give him another chance to prove his innocence. I think that
is
the only way to prove it.
And why even have to worry about the visual assignment like that? Why not just say, okay, you're going to, you know, we're going to test you three times that day. You don't know when it's going to be, and it's going to be 3 to 4 hours apart separately. And in that, you know what I'm saying? And that way, you got multiple samples, and you don't have a dilution issue. And if you do have a dilution issue, then you know purposely they've been doing that every time for those three times.
Right.
And then maybe you have a little bit more of a leg to stand on.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe that is the way to do it going forward. Maybe that is the way. Maybe not three, but even twice. Just say, we're going to test you twice at this combine at some point in time. And you know, you don't know when it's going to be. It could be right when you get there. It could be right when you leave, or it could be at any points in the middle. You know, and you know, really kind of give them an opportunity to see if there was something that was abnormal, if it was just you know, an outlier, or if that is the pattern here. And if it's the pattern here, if you test diluted twice, then you know what? Then, you know, we there's something to hide here, and we're going to go ahead and count that. And again, if the and this is the part about it, you know, you and I don't get to say, neither does a judge or jury. The league can do, you know, if you work for a school and they drug test teachers and coaches and so on and so forth, they can set the rules as they see fit. If you work for an accounting firm, they can set the rules as they see fit. And if they say to you, conditions of employment here are random drug tests, and if you take one and your sample is diluted, we count that as positive. Because either you hit it in some way with a masking agent, or you just drank a ton of water to make the test inconclusive, we're going to count that as a positive. That's a message to you saying, don't drink a ton of water before there's a test, especially an announced one, not a random one, an announced test like they knew there was going to be at the combine.
Yeah. Thank you for your time, Bob. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Daniel. Great call. Really, really good conversation. I appreciate that. By the way, coincidentally or not, I don't know, while we're talking about drug testing players, and I mentioned Josh Gordon in my earlier commentary. Martavis Bryant, just literally within the last 20 minutes, Martavis Bryant is back for the Steelers. If you recall, Martavis Bryant had been suspended for 1 year in the same situation. I hate that they continue to use the wrong verbs. He was not suspended. Josh Gordon was not suspended. They were banned from the National Football League. And you may say, quit playing semantics, France. And I'll say back to you, it's not semantics. A suspension is a temporary, decided period of time. It has a beginning and an end. You are suspended from A to B. When your crime is so serious that there is not a defined end to it like a suspension has, that it's a ban, that means it is indefinite. There is no end to it unless you apply for reinstatement and have that ban lifted. That only happens when you are in stages 3 or 4, I believe, of the NFL's drug policy, the way Josh Gordon was and the way Martavis Bryant was. So that means you are a multi-time loser. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for these guys. I did not have any sympathy for Josh Gordon, despite the fact that he played for the Browns. No sympathy here for Martavis Bryant, who plays for the Steelers. When you have millions and millions of dollars in front of your eyes, you are a multi-million dollar star athlete. Your future is set up for life. Your children's futures are set for life. And if you're a reasonable, responsible person with your money, probably your grandchildren's lives are set with the millions of dollars you're going to make. I don't know about you. I can't even fathom what it would be like to have $1 million. But I can promise you, that's all I would need. Because I'm not buying myself a Bentley. I'm still going to drive my Fusion. Or I'm still going to drive my Jeep. And I'm going to live in the house I live in. And I'm going to invest that and let that money work for me. So I can't even imagine a million, let alone multi-million dollar contracts that these guys have. So you've got your future and your family's futures all laid out for you because of your God-given talent. And you literally pee that away. I'm going to try to be clean here. You literally pee that away because you can't put the bong down? especially when you're talking about scheduled tests, not even random tests. You literally pee away your future and millions of dollars because you can't get off the ganja. You've got a problem. So no sympathy, Josh Gordon. No sympathy, Martavis Bryant. And if you do, if you mess up again, I'll have no sympathy when we see you working in a job that is going to pay you considerably less than the millions of dollars you're going to be paid to catch the football in the National Football League. And if you end up working at a job that involves a patch with your name on the front of it, and you're making yourself $9.75 an hour because you didn't study in college because you knew you were going to the show, I'm not going to feel bad for you. All right? Not at all. Martavis Bryant has followed the protocol. Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert said in a statement released by their team today, Bryant has followed the protocol and has been conditionally reinstated by the National Football League. We appreciate that he has taken the necessary steps in an effort to get his personal life in order. We also understand this is just the beginning, and as he works to return to the team and meet all of the conditions of his reinstatement. We look forward to working with Martavis to ensure that he is mentally and physically prepared to contribute to our efforts on the field, while also maintaining the proper balance to keep his life in order off the field. So that's where we are with the Martavis Bryant. So he has been reinstated. Obviously, Josh Gordon has not been. Josh Gordon, the Browns pretty much washed their hands of him after his most recent fallback. And again, I'm not going to have any sympathy, and yet here I sit. And I'm just going to I'll lay it out there like I did last hour. I am rooting for Jabril Peppers. I am rooting for him to be the one out of 100, proverbially. Even if it is, as the last caller pointed out, even if it isn't really accurate, the 99% of the time thing, even if it can't be proven, let's just use that proverbially speaking. I really hope Jabril is the one time out of 100. And I want the best for him, and I want him to go high in the first round, and I want to see him be a star in the National Football League. I really do. And I want to see him make his millions. I really, really do. I wish the best for him. But if we find out that he is Josh Gordon or Martavis Bryant or Ricky Williams, who quit the National Football League, literally walked away from his contract, telling those close to him, I'd rather get high. He literally retired because he could not and decided he didn't want to try to abide by the league's substance abuse policies. He said, I'd really have more fun smoking than playing football. See ya, wouldn't want to be ya. That's what he did. If Jabril Peppers proves to have been masking weed or something else, and that's why he had that positive sample, the diluted sample positive as they view it, I will treat him the same way I treated the other losers, as just that, a loser. You can't put down the blunt or the bong for 30 days, for God's sake, before the combine. You couldn't give yourself an extra 5 to make sure your system was completely clean, and I believe that's how long weed stays in the system, is 30 days. If you can't do that long enough to pass that test, then you know what? I feel no sympathy for you whatsoever. All right, going to take a quick time out here, bottom of the hour. Come back, talk a little bit more NFL. Adrian Peterson has a new home. Draft is Thursday. Want your calls at 866.
France Extravaganza on 106.5 The Ticket.
Well, I tell you what. If you've got an ugly driveway, do we have the solution for you? My goodness, this could not be more perfect. If you've got weeds growing up through the cracks, and you got cracks all around the cracks, and it's uneven, and it's shifted, and your kid can't even play basketball in the driveway because every time you dribble the ball, it goes out in the street because it's so messed up. My God. Why don't you get to the website? Go to 1065theticket.com and upload a picture of your trashy, nasty driveway. Because Buck Brothers and ESPN 106.5 The Ticket are giving you a chance to win a free driveway, a brand new driveway for your home with this ugliest driveway contest. You send that picture, upload it to 106.5theticket.com by May 14th. Contest ends May 14th at midnight, and you could win a brand new driveway from Buck Brothers and ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. How's that sound? All right. By the way, got something else very cool for you, too. Mud Hens and Louisville coming up on, or Louisville, if you want. Gargano, how do you Chicagoites, how do you guys say Louisville? When I grew up, and by the way, I'm an English teacher, or I was an English teacher anyway in a former life before I started radio 20 years ago. And so I kind of like really, I don't like the Southern dialect type or the Pittsburgh Yinzers type of dialect or any of the New York or Boston accents. I try to speak in the King's English, you know, the proper way, the way it was meant. So I've always said Louisville. But then as time has gone on, the more people I meet from down south and so on and so forth, if you say it that way, they're likely to smack you in the head and say, no, it's Louisville. Like L-O-U-V-U-L, Louisville. It's Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky. How do you Chicagoans say it?
I grew up my whole life saying Louisville because, you know, like
Louisville. Oh, boy, I knew like, I liked you. There
like
you go.
Louisville Slugger, right?
Oh, right.
Like, isn't that the right way to say
wow.
it?
Wow.
However.
It's a hell of a point. Nobody ever picked up and batted with a Louisville Slugger.
Nobody says Louisville Slugger.
Say again?
Nobody says Louisville Slugger. It's a Louisville Slugger.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. But what were you going to say now? What?
But now my best friend went to school down there in that city, so I've been corrected to Louisville every time I see him. So to just avoid having to deal with the headache, I just say
how does Patino say it?
I actually don't know. I'm going to go check
that out.
I'm
not picturing Rick Pitino, who just smacks of all East Coast, you know, elitist kind of, you know, New York,
right.
Madison Avenue. He's got the $1,000 Armani suits that he wears on the sidelines. And, you know, I mean, I can't picture Rick Pitino saying Louisville.
Do you think he's disappointed?
I'm the head coach at Louisville. I don't think it happens.
Yeah, I don't see it.
And if he's the head coach, then I'm going to go with him. I'm still going to say Louisville. Anywho, Louisville takes on the Mud Hens Friday the 5th at Fifth Third Field. And we got some tickets we're going to be giving away coming up here before the end of the hour. All right, when it rains, it pours. When it comes to these college players and criminal activity, unfortunately, this one is far, far, far more serious. This story just broke about half an hour. I'll take that back, about 9 minutes ago on ESPN.com. Former Ohio State Buckeye cornerback Garion Conley has been accused by a woman of raping her in a Cleveland hotel earlier this month, according to Cleveland police. He has not yet been arrested, and no charges have been officially filed against him yet, but Cleveland police are investigating the allegations made by the woman that a rape occurred. His attorney is Kevin Spilacy, perhaps? Without naming his client, earlier today he denied the allegations to a TV station in Cleveland, called them ludicrous and ridiculous, according to police reports obtained by ESPN. The alleged incident occurred April 9th, 23-year-old woman.
If I'm a GM that has Conley number one at my board, on my board, I've been waiting to draft this kid for a long time. I've talked to him. I'm being very involved with this, trying to get every detail I can as quickly as I can. Because, like you said, we don't know
but
what
it's
happened.
Not going to be that quick. I mean,
I know.
He could be
I
there
know.
Right now. He could be being interviewed right now by a Cleveland police detective. And they could be talking about everything that happened in that hotel room. And he could say, my boys were there.
Yep.
They'll back me up. I got all this, you know, eyewitness evidence. She's making up the story. And it's still not going to be a closed investigation where it's decided that he's innocent by Thursday night when the draft starts. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So the question is, what GM, if any GM, is going to be willing to take this first-round talent cornerback knowing that there is a rape allegation, not even a charge, not even an arrest or a criminal charge? He hasn't been fingerprinted, mugshotted, or anything else. Just one woman saying this happened. Are you taking him or not? My goodness.
Yeah, first round for me, I wouldn't.
I suspect, absent some miracle of police work, That really does clear him by Thursday, I suspect nobody will. I think you're right. Mixon has a better chance, probably, than Conley does. Because everybody knows Mixon's case. They already know it's been adjudicated. They already know what his punishment was.
Yep.
And they already know that he is just looking for the proverbial second chance. He would probably be a safer bet here now than Garion Conley. What an amazing turn of events here as we approach draft day. All right, music is playing. I promised you these tickets on the way out the door. I want to deliver on them right now. Callers 4 and 5. Callers 4 and 5 to 866-240-1065. I will hook you up with a pair of tickets to the Mud Hens and Louisville at 5th Third on Friday, May 5th. Callers 4 and 5, a pair of tickets for each of you. And we'll have more to give away during tomorrow's program as well. Stay where you are because Drive Time is coming up next right here on The Ticket. We'll see you tomorrow.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.